Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We're happy to have them on board.
Yes, we are.
Yay! For mental health. Okay, guys. So before we play you the taping of our live show,
guys,
but we just want to say this is our last episode of the season, and we're going to miss you. And please keep in touch over the break via social.
We are all up on that social,
and we're going to be back on September 23rd. Yeah. So come back with us. Be ready for us.
Tell your friends.
Yeah,
you know,
to catch re-listen. Up while we're gone.
Yeah, exactly. Re-listen to episodes with your friends. Talk about your favorite moments.
Like a Tupperware party. Yeah. All right, let's get
like,
some...
It'll be like the Game of Thrones big parties. It's going to be that big.
Sure. Okay, let's get to our live show.
I'm really glad to have you here with us. And please join me in welcoming Robin and Jamie, the fabulous hosts of If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Everybody.
Hi, nice to see you. Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. Oh gosh, you guys are so far over there. Hi. Nice to see you all.
Let's just shame them right from the start, Jamie. That's how you know how this is going to go. If we're going to start shaming you. It's
we're
fine.
Not shaming anyone. It's all good. It's all good. So welcome. This is, I'm Jamie.
Every episode, Jamie starts up with telling you that she's Jamie and I'm Robin.
And so, we're your hosts. That's what we do every time.
So you can see we're really buttoned up, guys.
Every time.
This is how it goes.
But we have to tell you guys, it's been a journey to get here today.
So
we
obviously Jessica Kirsten's not here.
No, she's not. I mean, it all worked out in the end, but Jessica Kirsten is currently having twins in the hospital.
Right now.
Basically.
Yeah.
So she couldn't make it.
So yeah. we get the call somewhere around four or five last night. And, you know, we didn't know her wife was pregnant. So yeah. That was a little bit of a, you know, okay. That might have been information we wanted to hear earlier than 5 o'clock on Sunday before the live show.
Well, then
that was my first thought.
No, and then I was like, oh my God, if she comes and her wife might be having kids, that's such a good story. We're so golden. But then reality really hit it. Yeah. No, she can't come. And then I was just talking to a friend earlier who said, you should have gone to the hospital and interviewed her. See, I know, people think. Next time we'll try that, guys.
Listen, I do want to say that the producer and me did ask for a video. Yeah. I was like, can you Skype? Can you call in? And then I was like, okay, no. So you're in labor. All right, no.
She
stopped responding.
She has to be there for her wife.
Sure.
Right now. You know, she's
sure.
Pushing out two twins. So we wish Jessica all the best.
We do.
We'll have her on for season 4. We will stalk her like we do.
We have been, just for the backstory on Jessica Kirsten, we have been stalking her since, I think the earliest emails were June of last year.
Yeah.
And
that's
it just,
what we do.
Like 800 emails of me being like, hey, Jessica.
You're gay.
What if...
You have kids.
What about now?
Hey, kid.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But the thing that we wanted to talk to you guys about, which was really cool that happened from all this, is it's just such a testament to our community and to Pride Month, because all of these gay folks whom we've interviewed Judy fucking Gold.
I mean, we still love Judy Gold.
You have to say fucking in the middle.
Judy fucking Gold.
Judy fucking Gold. Judy Gold, Seth Rudetsky, all these people in the gay community rallied around us to help us find someone.
Yeah, and we had another guy on the hook, and he was like, but I got to go to my kindergarten orientation. I was like,
Robin
really?
Was like, you can miss that.
I was like, can you cut out like a little early? I was like, where are you located? I was like, of course he's in Astoria. I was like, come on now.
No.
I was like, she couldn't be in a school in the Lower East Side. Like,
No, it's the but the stars aligned. The stars aligned.
And all roads led us to our amazing guest who's coming out tonight.
He's great. We've been chatting with him in the green room. He's a lot of fun. Our guest tonight. Do you guys even know who our guest is?
Everyone's like, no.
No. You failed
like, it's
us.
Raining. Like, I just came with my friend.
You told us it was somebody else. Yes.
He's the guy from Mamma Mia.
His name is David Beach. He's an actor extraordinaire.
Yes.
He's been on TV. He's been on Veep.
Yep.
He's been on
Mamma Mia.
He's been on Broadway many times.
He was in Something Rotten where he understudied Nathan Lane, and he's going to probably tell you the story about when he had to come out on stage,
well,
and everyone was like,
that's not
Nathan Lane.
That's hard. That's hard.
So we put him in the same position. It's not Jessica Kirsten. Poor David Beach.
Like the story. Yeah. No, but David Beach is really, really awesome. And he's got a great story, too. Yeah. So
should we bring him out?
I think we should just bring him out. They don't want to hear us anymore.
Yeah, otherwise, we're just going to keep being like, so David Beach.
So let's bring David Beach.
Oh, there he is, David Beach.
David Beach.
Guys, this is our show, David Beach. We should all give him a big, warm welcome.
Oh, my God. Hello, everybody.
Because otherwise you would have had to listen to just Jamie and I just do that for like an hour. It's like at some point you're like, are they going to stop?
No, it's like, I'm coming out.
I need to help them. I need to save them.
Thank you.
Well, we told him he had to do his Nathan Lane entrance.
No. So I was, you never want to understudy Nathan Lane, but.
It's pretty cool that you did though. It's a testament to your talent.
Well, no, I don't know if that's
it
true.
Sure,
I mean, it's
is.
Like it's that my resistance to pain, but that I also was understudying Matthew Broderick. It's only a play. I also understudied F. Murray Abraham, the same show, and I would have to come out and either the whole thing was like when you have those kind of stars, they build pauses into the show
For the applause.
So when you come out and then you're like. but when you're not the star, then you're like, okay, let's just go fast, because I'm going to come out.
Just enter.
But my husband and a friend were there, and they started the entrance applause. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you had two people.
Yeah. And that's when they were shushed and told, that's not Nathan Lane. And they're like, we know, that's why we're here. But it was all good.
So you're good at this. You're good at filling.
It's just
so great that you could be here for us tonight.
But I really would like, I'd rather have twins, I think.
You know what, Jamie and I would not rather have twins. No.
I think that would be just...
I'm in the thick of it, as it is.
Yeah.
Jamie, you don't want to tell our audience, like, anyone who has twins, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. I mean, if you have twins, I think that you're amazing. You know, and I don't knock people with twins. I think you're all great. But
no.
You
know.
All right, so we're going to start with you where we always start with the elevator pitch. Okay. Give us the David Beach elevator pitch.
David Beach elevator pitch. I have been married to Russell for 31 years.
Oh.
And we have a 10-year-old, Sadie Kate, and we adopted her from the foreign country of Long Island. And
that's so rare. It's very rare,
but you know, it's visas, it's all that kind of LIE stuff. And then, we got her at the hospital.
So right away.
Yes.
You were there for the delivery?
No. But we were there right after. Uh-huh. So. And because of the visa stuff for Long Island, slowed us down.
You got stuck on the LIE.
Yeah, it was just weird.
It takes a while sometimes.
But so that's the elevator pitch, I think. You know, if we had started earlier, I mean, we met when we were 23. But if we kept on thinking, oh, you know what? We're definitely going to, we're about ready to have kids.
You know? 23.
And then, yeah. And then we had the names. And
names picked out.
Yeah, Benjamin. And mm-hmm. I think at first was Emily. Uh-huh. And we had all that set aside. And then, like, we lived in the same brownstone on the Upper West Side and for a long time. And I would always say, if I was home cooking, I was like, hey, Benjamin, your father's home. And the people downstairs, I really think, thought we had a kid.
That you never let out of the house.
Never let out. You know, that was awkward, right?
But I don't know what those two men are doing up there, but that baby never leaves that house.
He never leaves the house.
I have never seen this Benjamin. Like, I do not know where he is.
But we went, because you know, there's that whole thing in brownstones. There's like, you hear so much.
Yeah.
But the way that you can like deal with it is by pretending like you don't hear anything.
Right.
And so you're like, okay, you guys got lucky last night. That was good. And like, but you don't want to, but so Benjamin, like, people must have thought it was the strangest thing in the world. So, when we finally brought home a baby who was Sadie, I think it made it, like, they were like, well, the first kid's still not around. So I hope.
Don't break this one.
Don't break this one. Don't lose her. So, but I think that we would have definitely been like, oh my God, this is so much more fun than everyone says it is. We would have had more kids if we weren't.
If you had
like,
started earlier.
If we started earlier.
Wait, you actually said this is so much more fun than everything?
Yeah.
I know,
so
we're all like,
more fun than,
what?
No, I thought, here's what people would always say to us, oh, your life's going to change. Yeah. And I'm like, we kind of got that. That's why we're having a kid. We want our life to change a little bit. Not going to be all about you anymore. I'm like, yeah, I know that. Like, everyone who was a parent who we talked to, it seemed like they must have been like they hated having kids. Like, and they were like, oh, you're about to have a kid? Oh, yeah, it's not easy.
So we used to have these lesbians would come over and ask us how to have a kid, and they would like, we called it gay drafting, mm-hmm. and they would come over and in the height of our time after we had Henry, which was our second, and he was a little hard. This couple came over, and I was running the blender with rum drinks, and I was like, and I came out and poured drinks for them, and I was like, if you want to have a baby, here's how you do it. You just want to go over here and you just buy some sperm, and I mean, but listen. And you don't really have to have the baby. If right now you can wait. After they left, Mary and I were like, what did we just do?
But I sort of think that like, it's all the people with, we had people like, you guys are gay. You don't have to have kids.
Yeah.
People
I'm like,
said
well,
that
no
too.
One's forcing us. Yeah. I mean, it's like, they're like, really, like, you do not have to do this. Or like, you will get into fights with your spouse that you have never, you're going to find things about each other that you have never known before. And it's going to get
it's
so dark.
True,
and I'm
David.
Like, why are you like, I mean, of course, some of that is true, but
your husband's not here, right?
No.
Yeah, so you feel our wives are here, so we're gonna just be like this. Ah, David, it's interesting.
No, yeah, he is.
I don't feel that way, but okay.
I don't feel that. He just feels that about me. But that whole sense of people just really wanting you to know that it's going to be dark.
Yeah,
right. And I feel like I'm very guilty of that.
I know.
I'm more like that with puppies. I mean, do not get a puppy.
But I mean, puppies are hard too.
They're harder than babies.
So you alluded to the fact that you thought about it at 23. We're doing a little math. Okay. There was some time in there.
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
A lot of time.
Yeah, so what happened was, so I was 20, we met when we were 23. When we first met, we hated each other. That was also something that was interesting, that like then, like 6 months into like hating each other, I was like, oh my God, I must be his husband. And he,
super healthy.
And thank you. It's a lot of unpacking.
Yeah.
So we were in a play together, and he was my servant.
Oh, so he's an actor too?
No, he's not an actor. But we met at conservatory.
Only one of you can be an actor.
Yes, exactly.
I know.
There's not room for two.
That doesn't work.
There's not room for two.
That's not going to work.
And also, I found out there's only room for one servant.
Oh.
And he had already done it in the play, so now I was doing it for the rest of our lives.
Right.
This is the way that's working.
Right.
And so then, but then we were like really did not want to do this whole thing where I couldn't deal with that. People like, oh, you sometimes in some states you have this amount of time where a birth parent can change their mind, or it's this amount of time, or this could happen, and then they could, or if they, the birth father's in the military, he can come back a year later and then still. And I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I cannot put myself at that kind of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, so what do you do? So you don't, you withhold love for the first 30 days and you're just like, oh, it's a nice kid.
You're just like extended
that's totally,
babysitting.
That's probably like, what the experts tell you to do.
Yeah.
Just withhold like, that love.
But don't really cuddle them or anything.
Yeah, right,
and
right.
So then I was like, so I finally had to embrace the fact we both did about that, that you have to put yourself, you have to be vulnerable to that.
Yeah.
Because there's no way around it. And so we were getting older and older, and we're like, we still might want to have a kid. And these people said, well, how's the kid thing coming? And we're like, oh, we're still thinking about it. And they're like, dudes, you're 41.
Yeah.
You're like, you can't just be thinking about it. So if you're thinking about it, then you're not doing it. And it's a passive no. And I was like, well, no, it's not a passive no. I said, we are still thinking about it.
We are in deep conversation about these children.
And we have been talking about it, and we knew where we were going to send them to school and where we were going to vacation and all that kind of stuff.
I mean,
and
you talk to him daily.
Benjamin Thomas would be doing all these great things, and he just wasn't there. And so then we went to an agency, one of those sort of introductory talks. And then after that, we were like, we gotta have a kid now. So,
because once you decide,
talk
about this all the time. Once you decide, then it has to happen right away.
Like, right.
Yeah.
Then every second is too long.
And then I would be up all night doing triplicate books where Russell decided that he should sleep while I do pen and watercolor drawings in all our books.
The adoption books?
Yes, in triplicate. And it was very important that it was like...
You didn't have access to a copier?
No, we...
Just like, no?
We were going to put photos, but then around the photos, there were these pen and watercolor
original
drawings.
Artwork.
Yeah.
This is why I say that gays always do it better than
they
us.
They do.
The men.
Right.
The
you
lesbians
guys
are like,
so
I copied
much
it.
More put together than us. The
yeah.
crudités and everything.
Yeah.
No, but that's just reality.
Yeah.
You know, so.
We put makeup on for you, David.
Because
you were a gay.
This morning.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
But we would, then I would sit up, and it was like, I would be up all night doing these things because I wanted to get them in because we needed a baby as soon as possible. And I'd be watching these like Barefoot Contessa marathons.
Sure, as you do.
And I was like, wait a minute. Someone might not like my pen and ink drawings, you know? I might end up, but then I'm like, you know what? I'll just get big blue blouses and I'll cook a lot of fatty food and I'll take it to my Jeffrey, you know, to Russell. And then I'll be like, I'll just be Ina, the male Ina.
And you're going to put that in the book somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was like, because I have to deal with the fact that someone, I might be like not picked.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
So I was like, but I will be just... like go find Ina and like tell her that she's important to my life because I'm childless. I don't know.
It was really comforting to me.
Yeah. I was like,
she became important. I see.
But
that.
Then when we met the birth parents, the birth mom, Caitlin said, who did those drawings?
Oh.
Those were really great.
And
I'm like, and Russell's like, I told you. I'm like, I know, but I was the one who did them and you were sleeping.
Yeah.
Because you're the servant.
Yeah.
Hey, Jamie.
Yeah, Robin.
Have I mentioned how awesome my life has become since Mary joined BetterHelp? And by the way, for those of you who don't know what BetterHelp is, it's basically online therapy.
I mean, you haven't mentioned it, but I'm sure it's true. I know my wife's life has probably gotten much better since I joined.
Listen, my life's gotten better since you joined.
Whatever. Go ahead. No, it's good. It's good.
Listen, here's what's cool is Mary signed up online. Mm-hmm. She just had to answer a few quick questions and then she was matched with a licensed therapist and she really loves it.
So do I.
It was just so easy and she's already had a couple of sessions mm-hmm. and she's been able to schedule them around our chaotic lives. Yesterday, she even just took a break from lunch and did a call-in session because she couldn't do like a video chat.
Yeah, it's that easy. And I love that it's not like a crisis line. It's not self-help, yeah. which is like rampant right now. Yeah. Everybody is like, it's all self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. I just log in and I connect with my therapist. And there are so many ways to connect. I just sent my lady a message and she got back to me within the hour.
Oh my God, Mary is all about the journals. She keeps saying things like, I have to go write my lady, which by the way, is after I do something wrong. Yeah. Is anyone noticing that I basically made Mary do the therapy, not me?
And me.
That's fine.
Listen, you drove me to therapy, but anyway.
If it ain't broke.
Also, this is really good. If you don't like the therapist they choose, you can switch for free, no questions asked, which is great.
Cool. That's cool.
I really love that I have my video sessions in my living room. Mm-hmm. I just make a cup of coffee and snuggle up with my lady on the computer.
Okay, now that is crossing some lines. So guys, we have a special deal for you all. If you visit betterhelp.com/OCT, you can basically join the over 500,000 people who are taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. And for our If These Ovaries Could Talk listeners, you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/OCT.
That bears repeating. Yep. I'm going to say it again. You just need to visit betterhelp.com/OCT and take charge of your mental health. You get 10% off. Mm-hmm. betterhelp.com/OCT.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Just like Jamie and Mary did, but not Robin.
I mean, Robin's probably going to drive you
I'm
to
next,
it the more you
God's
listen
sake.
To her.
I mean, just listen. I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah, so I want to know, how did you come to deciding to do adoption? Because there are some other options you could do. There's surrogacy and,
right.
well, really just surrogacy.
That lady at the bar.
That lady at the bar. Which we actually talked to somebody who said their doctor, when was this?
Suggested last week. Suggested that.
Suggested.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago?
No, this was, but they were trying to have a baby years ago.
Yeah.
But the doctors they went to were suggesting things like, just go
to
meet
a bar.
Somebody at a bar, yeah. get pregnant that way. Can you believe that?
I'd be like, I am not paying my copay.
No, exactly. You're not going to get away with that.
But is it like a happy hour thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Like insemination yeah, special? Like,
yeah. Yeah, like that's a thing that happens. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I think that I would like to go to that bar at some point.
It'd be interesting. Huh?
But what I was thinking about where I didn't want to make a baby if there were babies that needed homes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that... that's just the way I felt. Now,
that's a beautiful way to be.
Yeah.
No, but people who make babies, I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Right.
You know, but I just thought it would be easier to, like, it was more my mindset, our mindset at that point. So
that was just the route. Like, you guys knew right away.
Yeah.
That's what you were going to do.
But when we went to this, agency and everyone seemed to be really in. I understood the way everyone talked. So then I wasn't scared about the process.
Mm-hmm. How do you mean?
Because they weren't saying, we're going to get you a baby soon. Or like, you want a boy or you want a girl? Like they're like very sort of thoughtful about the whole thing, about how it there's a real need for people to step up. And they were saying like, you know, if we have all these high needs babies, but if you're not people who think that you could handle a high needs baby, that is not a good baby for you. So
right.
don't
mm-hmm.
say... we'll take any baby
right.
because that's not fair to the baby.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
do you think you just found the right agency, or?
Yeah, I mean, we did research, but it was, and also we didn't want to leave town necessarily. Like I think that we were very thoughtful about finding people who, and we went through the process with a group of people, And I
who were also adopting?
Who were also adopting.
Like, you know, buddies?
A home study group. Like, no, like, we all had to do reading. We all had to write.
You all made your books.
Yeah. No, we did together. The books, but we had to sort of, like, talk to each other. It was a home study group.
So did you feel competitive with those people? Because I feel like I would.
I was so competitive. I was like,
honest. Well, because you want to be picked.
Right.
You want to be picked.
You want the baby.
Right.
And we'd be like, well, you guys seem really nice, but we're two guys, so we might get them, you know, like that kind of thing.
Were you the only two guys?
Yeah.
Were there any other gay couples?
No.
Or
no.
LGBTQ?
So it was like four. Everyone was heterosexual but us. So, and I thought that would differentiate us.
Right.
If someone wanted to, like, look through a book, like, straight,
like
straight,
same.
Straight. Oh, there's a gay couple. Straight. So,
sort of like Instagram selfie, food shot. Like
yes,
that.
Exactly.
Like food shot.
We hearted all those things.
Very
so,
similar.
But it was great. I mean, we're still really good friends with those people who, and we all have kids.
Everybody got a kid.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
So,
yeah, it's tough. It's hard, that whole waiting process. How long was your waiting process?
The waiting process was not very long. We put our beautiful books in May, and we got a call July 4th weekend.
Wow.
And she was born, she's supposed to be born August 2nd.
Whoa.
And she was born August 19th.
Wow.
But that's not a typical experience for
no, but I'm not typical.
Right?
I told you
he
that.
He is not typical.
You are not, like, Jessica Kirsten.
I am not. But I play her on TV.
Yes.
So, but you know, I thought it was great. I mean, I think that I was happy that we have friends who had babies that spring who seemed like, but I remember them being pregnant for a long time,
right.
As you do.
Yeah.
And then I always forget that Sadie came right after some of our friends' kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
you didn't have a big, lead up to getting her, actually.
No.
Well, I mean, they had like 20 years,
I mean, you had
though.
Like 20 years, and then you decided to do it, and you did the stuff that you had to do, and then you had a baby.
Yeah. It was a lot really fast.
Yeah.
And we also, it was right when you could get married in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had decided...
Before Prop 8 overturned.
Right.
It. Right.
Boo.
Mm.
But so we were in that sort of like period where you could get married out there, and so we were going to elope to Big Sur, and then we said we were going to take two other couples with us just to, like, hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we said, if the only reason we'll cancel this vacation is, like, on the small chance that we might have a baby by August 23rd. And and so then we were like, oh my God, we have to cancel the vacation. And one of their parents are like, you cannot cancel a wedding. What are you doing? You cannot bring a baby into this world if you're not married.
Oh.
Ooh.
And I was like.
So funny, because now we can finally get married. Now you're going to say that to us?
Yeah, no, but then.
But also, but like, that's the thing you're worried about?
No.
Like,
but she was setting herself up for a good punchline, because she was like, take my plane and fly out to California and get married and then come right back.
Well, there you go.
And I said, well, you know, but the birth mom might go into labor and we don't. And she goes, oh, David, you are overthinking this. You tell the pilot to turn the plane around. And then I said, well, you know, we could also just walk to Connecticut or Massachusetts. And then she goes, David, what kind of story would that be? Just take my plane and fly to Big Sur. And so we did.
You did.
Yeah, and I was
David,
like,
and
you're
you didn't
over
have to turn the plane around.
You're over. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You can just tell him to turn the plane around.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
So you were married when your daughter came.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Right. And so she wanted to make sure that was, you know, everything was buttoned up there.
Hmm.
So
open or closed adoption? Is it? How did that all? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, open, and the birth couple who are not still together but still really good friends, we see them once or twice a year. And even like the first couple times when Sadie was old enough to really get who they were,
mm-hmm.
like we would go to like the Queen Zoo or something like that. And what I thought was so fascinating is that Sadie immediately thought there might be some discomfort. And so she was actually going, come, let me show you these animals. Like, because
breaking
it was like
the tension.
Yeah,
for
she was
you.
Like, she was like, see this, this is this, and like, and she was making it all up. She knew nothing about the animals. And but I thought because there was like a certain like as she got older, like there was a little bit more awkwardness, like when we're like for the first 5 minutes of seeing each other,
right?
So she would like take care of it.
It's like she's protecting you, sort of.
I thought she was actually trying to protect. Like wanted them to feel comfortable because she was so happy to see them.
Oh.
And but she knew that like we were the parents, but she wanted to like say, oh, you're my birth parents. Like, let me show you this South American bear that's right there.
You know. Have you seen this?
Have you seen it? It's a really wonderful bear.
Look at the brown.
I think she had just seen Brave. So she was like, and look, this is could be a mother as well.
So at what age did she start to really understand the birth parents? And
Well, we always would show her pictures when in between the times. And she had those sort of storybooks that you can record the voice.
Oh.
So we did that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how old she was because it wasn't
it was a constant.
It wasn't a, and now we're going to tell you anything. It was just like, because also she wants to be a scientist. And at a certain point you think, you have two dads. There's probably an egg from somewhere that I got to figure that one out. You know, it's like, it never was like, now we have to tell you about this.
Right. Well, that's what they say. They say that you should just be dropping the seeds their whole lives about their origin story. They
dropping
say that
the
to
seeds,
us. That's the drop the seed
Lisa,
theory.
The therapist
we just learned that. We just
that
talked to
us.
A therapist called drop the seed theory. You just drop those seeds. And then when they're ready, they pick them up. Or they make flowers. I don't know. You know what I mean?
But I always think that, but if you're, if you're talking about semen, I wouldn't say it dropping the seed.
Right.
You know, it's like, so I would use another analogy.
That's a good
point. Like breadcrumbs.
Drop it. Because that says semen.
Yes.
Yes.
We've really stepped into a very uncomfortable territory here.
Anyway.
For me, no, anyway.
But one of the things that we would always talk to her about is that the fact that we felt like she was always supposed to be our daughter.
Right. Uh-huh.
And in the cosmos way. And so she always wants to know, like, if there wasn't a Caitlin and Billy, would we still be her parents? And we start talking about those kind of things. But, and then since we don't have like a very specified religious framework, we start to going, in the
it gets very cloud-like,
yes,
right?
Exactly. In the Wi-Fi of the world.
Yeah. Yes.
There's the cloud.
Yes.
So spiritual.
And you were always supposed to come to my
You're
Dropbox.
You're the MacBook.
To my Dropbox.
Yes.
To my Dropbox. So, we have a one shared file.
Yes, exactly. It's a very big Google Drive of happiness. And but then I held her, I kept her in the baby Bjorn for so long that I would say to her, like, you know, sometimes I feel like I know that you did not come through my body, but I feel like you were part of my body because I held you for so long and like until it was too embarrassing. Like, you know, like where like her like legs were like hitting me down here. I'm like, okay, now it's time to have you walk.
Yeah, let go of it.
She's like, Dad, I can't walk.
Yes, exactly. I can like, I can't, it's so wobbly. I'm like, because I haven't let you walk. But so then, and to get the sense of like, because I do feel like holding a kid for that much time.
Yeah.
You start getting, feeling like, I mean, I don't know what it's like to carry a child, but like, to have her like that for so much of my life.
It's overrated.
Sorry. Oh, carrying a child, you mean, is overrated?
Yes, sorry.
Yes.
It's lovely. It's very Mother Nature in a whole.
Yes. No, I don't know whether,
great.
It's the squeezing it out that I think I would have.
I mean, like, you got the baby in the best possible way. You were like, decide baby. Like, it was
exactly.
Like, that's amazing.
And so holding her and having her close to you like that solidified something for you.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really, I very sad when that
ended.
That
she was five.
Yes.
Like, I got to put you down now.
She was like, can I get down?
Like, Dad, come
Dad,
on.
Come on, I really, really.
I have school.
Yeah. No, I have my driving test. Yeah. Can you get me out of this, Bjorn?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you could do that because you're taller. My kids reach my knees. Like my 18-month-old, I can't even carry him in the Bjorn anymore because he's already at my knees because I'm so short. Yeah. Yeah, I know it's sad. I know.
So it's Pride Month, and Pride Month. We've been talking a lot on the show this year about this concept of like you can sort of pass as a straight person if you wanted to, as a single gay, you know, any of the letters. But once you become a parent, that's sort of off the table. Do you have any like pride in parenting stories? You know, like we've heard a lot of stories like, you know, the dentist using the wrong, you know, where's your mom? That kind of thing.
Right. I mean, I remember going to the playgrounds, and Sadie would hear people would like climb to the top and they're like, be scared to get back down. Mm-hmm. And they'll go, Mom. So I think that sometimes she thought Mom meant like, I need a little help here, right? So she would climb up too high and she'd be like, Mom. Yeah. And
that's
I would like walk over and like, yep, it's me. That's me, I'm getting my kid. Sometimes she calls me Mom. You know? And like that was, but then one time, like they said, oh, you know, you can't get out of jury duty. Sometimes it's just better to go down there with the kid. So I have her like in the Bjorn and I walk down there because I'm cheap and I'm like, you know, I'm down there. I finally get there and he's like, I said, I can't because I have childcare, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, where's her mom? Mm. And I'm like, I'm her mom. And he was like, what? I go, I'm her mom. Just, you can write, I'm her mom.
Did you really?
I was like, I was so tired. And I was so, like, the fact that he really was like, you have to go to jury duty and you have to give that kid to her mom.
Right, right.
And I was like, don't do
that.
I
bet you got off jury duty, though, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I think
Mental illness.
He is. Yeah, I think like, it's convict.
Yeah, I think that he probably thought you were not right in the head, actually.
Yeah,
not because you had a kid with you, it's because something's wrong in this guy's head.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, I was unstable as all new parents are.
Yes.
But no, like some people where they want to figure out what the story is, and they're trying to sort of like, they think that, oh, maybe he's a dad. Or even worse, like maybe he's a granddad. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, can we just go back to the
hurts.
Mom thing?
That hurts
And I was like, not her granddad.
No.
And now then I finally figured out the only way to say that. I'm like, oh my God, I do get granddad sometimes, but you'll be surprised. She is actually my great grandchild. Because there's no way that you can fight that, right? Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, day out with, like when she got old enough, like, are you having fun with granddad? I'm like, just dig me a hole and let me go into it.
So when we were recording the podcast one day, Jamie had wandered off like Jamie does sometimes. And somebody came by and goes, your daughter's in there. And I was like, what? I was like a coworker. And I was like, well, how old do I look? Like, 5-6 years, maybe. Like,
listen. I know I don't look that young. I know, but I'm very short, and I pass.
That doesn't even count.
Well, I teach fourth graders. I teach dance to fourth graders, so they're like in rows by height. I can't teach in the back because I'm shorter than the fourth graders. So I do, and we co-teach. So I always have a teacher with me. And sometimes if I'm amongst the children, my co-teacher can't find me. Where's Jamie? Did Jamie leave the room? And I'm right here. I'm here. So, I mean, it happens a lot. People think that my friends are my parents. I don't know. It's like a weird
but
thing.
But that feels good. That feels better than...
Well, yeah, I don't know what it feels like to be mistaken as a grandma. I don't.
No.
I don't.
Trust me, it feels better to be short. But there was a time when I was in a show and I said, oh, my daughter's coming today. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of those shows where like there was Fast and Furious. And so I would see someone and then I wouldn't see them for another 15 minutes on the other side of the stage. Well, she was like, your daughter is so tall. I'm like, she's not so tall. And then like, she's beautiful. I'm like, yeah, she's beautiful. And and then like, I love that. Captain's like, she kept on complimenting her every, and then I'm like, wait a minute. She's talking about the babysitter who's 24, you know? And then I'm like, but like my friends from high school would have had at least a 24-year-old.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not crazy to think. But I was like, that's my babysitter. That's not my daughter. My daughter is not tall.
Yeah.
And she's not 24.
She's 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, I feel like you could help. You come up with really good comebacks, though. Like, no, actually, that's my great-granddaughter.
Yes.
Or like, yes, I'm the mom. I feel like you could help us come, because I never know what to say. Like, there's this guy.
It will only happen once, Jamie. It was just the one woman who said you were my daughter. What do you mean you never know what to say?
No. Oh, I mean, well, the grandmother thing happens a lot, but I never, not about you. I never know what to say when people mistake, when people ask me about the dad. Like, for instance, there's this guy, the cart guy, the coffee cart guy. And sometimes I stop on the way to school. I get Rose, my daughter, a donut. Yeah. It's like her favorite thing in the world. And he loves us. And I have the baby with me too. So I have my son and my daughter. And he's always like, where's dad? What happened to dad? And like the other, last time it was like last week, he said, this one, the baby looks like the dad. The baby is all dad. And she is all you, which is funny because I didn't give birth to her and I gave birth to my son. But you know, like, but I don't know what to say. And I'm so bad at, it's really hard for me to make them feel awkward. It's hard. So, like, yeah. I need something funny to say, like right. What you say. So I'm going to let you think
about
that.
Could you just follow Jamie around?
No, but yeah.
Especially in the morning near the cart.
But, like, my Sadie goes to one of those schools where they, for the first, like, 3 years of school, mm-hmm. 80% of it is doing family books to mm-hmm. talk about different families. And they have pictures. We come in. We, you know, all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So every kid knows about everyone's family structure. They don't know how to read necessarily, but they know about family structure. And so when there's this one girl, and I was over at a play date, and she was like saying, where's Sadie's mom? Where's her mom? Mm. And I was like, oh my God, gross. Because you know. And it's like, and I'm like, you know, you're kind of evil.
Right.
Which is like, which is what you realize with kids. Like, kids don't wait till they're teenagers to be evil. Some of them, you just know, like, happening. Oh, that kid's going to be bad.
Yeah. We call that 4 going on prison.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then Sadie's like, oh my God, if that girl asked me where my mom is one more time, I'm going. So she's looking to me like a little help here.
Yeah. Right.
Mom. Yeah. You know, but
mom.
So finally I was like, oh, I won't say the girl's name, but like, oh, where's your other dad?
Oh,
and then
that's
she goes,
smart.
What? And I go,
see,
where's your other dad? And she goes, what do you mean? I go, you only have one dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird. Right. Where's your other one?
That's and, good.
That's amazing. So then,
that's smart.
But then,
that's
amazing. But Russell, so I told Russell this story. I'm like, he goes, you're fighting with a 4-year-old. Like, what's wrong with you?
You were like, but I won. Like, I won.
Exactly. I could take her. You have to take who you can take. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I might not have, like, if I had waited a year, she might have bested me.
She might have.
She might have.
So you just want to like get in there when the going's good.
That's really good. That's smart. See, you're going to come up with some things for me to say.
Yes, I will.
We're going to talk when I come over for dinner because we're always inviting ourselves over for dinner.
I mean, literally 3 seasons, David, we have invited ourselves over to dinner with every single guest.
Oh, no.
And no one has, and they all go, yeah, dinner.
You over.
You come on over, yes. Mm-hmm. Gender reveal party, you'll be there.
I know, we're not there.
And then, no.
We're not there.
Oh, no, Jessica's coming over this weekend, so maybe.
She's bringing the twins.
Yeah, I feel like after the show, we should all get together and go see Jessica at the hospital.
Yeah.
Be like, we missed you.
TP the house.
And then you can go in and be all mad at her and be like, yeah. I did it. It was my show.
No.
No.
No. We wish her the best. We love her.
Jamie just cleans up everything I say. It's fine.
Yeah.
So you've talked a lot about being the mom, and you wrote an article about it for Modern Love.
That's right. You're a writer as well.
Right.
And that's it. That was the whole thing.
That's the whole thing.
We were done.
And of sort. The thing about what happened with, someone said, you know, why don't you write about something that was really painful for you at the time, and then now that you look back at it, it's kind of funny. So I'm like, oh, okay, what painful moment. I'm like, oh yes, when Russell was traveling and it was Mother's Day and my mom lives in our building. She lives a flight down.
That's a and treat. God bless
so
you.
So he, on Mother's Day, and we were like, had just moved and like, we can't spend any money. And so I had like, was making her a card and stuff, but then they rang up and they're like, oh, there's flowers down here. And it was Russell had sent me a bouquet on Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. No, not all. I was like, that hurt your feelings. I'm not the mom. I'm right. don't try to like be heteronormative on me. You know, like when you're off in some sort of like hotel room, like having scotch by yourself. Like I'm like sitting here, like, and so I'm like, why are you like, I'm still want Father's Day as part mine.
Right. So don't like, don't think you're going to get Father's Day just because you sent me Mother's Day.
Yeah. And then I thought, well, what I'll just do is I'll just take the flowers and just give them to my mom. But then she'd be like, oh,
like
no.
Like re-gift.
Yeah. She was like, thrifty. But she'd already seen them. So I'm like, oh no, we can't like, but something about that was so painful at the time because I felt like I just was so tired. And like, if your like spouse is away and you're taking care of a kid all by yourself.
Yep. It's then exhausting, you're like, especially like, those early days.
And also like, what, you couldn't have just given me a gift certificate for a massage. Right. I don't need flowers.
Yeah.
So, but then he wrote the sweetest note in it about the fact that we were able to like share every, like we could take all the holidays that we want and make them whatever we want. So, and then it all was great. But it was like that kind of thing. I was like, oh no, not flowers. Yeah. So on Mother's Day.
Father's Day is coming up. How do you all celebrate? Because we talk a lot about we just get shafted on Mother's Day. Like
really
we just never celebrate anything.
Why not? But
we blow because it's just like for so many years, like the kids were so young, I would have to spend the time getting the kids to do something for Mary.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then Mary would have to spend the time getting them to do something for me. And it's just like at that point, can we just like watch TV?
Point.
It's like so much.
Actually, like, our first Mother's Day, we had my wife's mom come in and watch our daughter while we went and had cocktails.
Oh,
so
that's good.
That's a good plan.
You know, like she was so challenging at the time that we were afraid
your mother-in-law?
To stay out too. Yes, yes. My mother-in-law. Yeah, no, you know. That we didn't stay out that long because we wouldn't do that to people, you know, because it was so hard.
But no, I think that, I think those days are like we just try to do something as together as a family. But like now that she's 10, I've already told her I'm expecting something big and expensive. but she has like two piggy banks, one to save, one to spend. And like, I don't see that spending one getting any lighter. Like I've been checking. Cause I'm like, I want her to take some initiative.
By the way, I just want just to keep your expectations. My daughter's 10 and my son's 8. And we had both of us independently were pulling them aside and going, listen, guys, you got to get on this now. We were like, take care, whip some breakfast in bed, something, just do something. And then the day came and like by 10, it was very evident they weren't doing a single thing. And Maxine had started knitting something just for Mary, but she only got like this far. And she was like, I tried knitting. And I was like the worst parent ever being like, all I wanted was you to do something. And
then
she's like, yeah. And she's just like, and then I was like, all right, I'm going to back it up. It's
Mother's
too much.
Day is
fun. Too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there was one time when I was picking Sadie up at school and someone said, one of her teachers like, oh, it must be so fun to have him as your dad. And she said, except when he's crabby.
with the hand signs, too.
Yeah. And I was like, what just happened? Because there were enough people there that I became Crabby Daddy.
Oh.
And which I'm like, I don't mind. That's not inaccurate. Yeah. You know, and so that is my like. There's Daddy Russell and Krabby Daddy.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
So, but like, part of me is like, it's okay. Like, I feel like it builds up the resistance to mean people if you like let
start
them know.
The joke with yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying like, if you like tell your kids like, why didn't you give me a present? Then they can deal with that in the real world. If you're always like being nice to them, then they have no way of dealing with mean people when they get out of
Absolutely.
The house.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not
I'm on board with that.
I'm good with that.
I'm crabby mom as well. So
yes. I think we're
I'm
all
on board
crabby
with that.
Mom. Yeah, they see crabbiness, that's right. For sure. I want to know, because you know, you say you've been mom a bit. Like do you guys have parenting roles? How's that all panned out? With a lot of the families we talk to, the beauty of our families is that there are no set roles, and so we kind of make the roles we want.
Right.
There's no mom. There's no dad. She does this because she does it better. Like, my wife does the dishes because she does that better.
Right.
Right.
Is that really what that is, Jamie?
No.
I mean, I feel like there's an argument to be made for, say, like, bills and math, but dishes?
But yeah, no.
It's a universal skill.
You know what I'm saying. She really folds clothes way better than me. Like, it's true. But anyway, so, yeah. Back to you.
Anne's like, it's true, I do.
She does. She's right there.
But I sort of feel that is what works so well with a lot of gay couples, because there's not the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
Or there are blueprints, but they aren't as set in stone. In my mind, they aren't. So we definitely have, it depends on like who has what job then. And like sometimes I work at night and he usually works during the day. Mm-hmm. And so there are times when I go out of town. And so there's like a lot of give and take with certain things. But I think when she was younger, we didn't want to hand her off to a nanny. And some people have should hand off their kid to a nanny. Like, you look at that.
Jamie and I are like,
yes.
No. But like, I get that. I'm like, that's super cool. But I was with, like, we were with this one very fancy gay couple, and like their kids' name were like Fifi and Fufu. Like, they were like, really? We were having lunch and we're like, you know, we just haven't traveled as much since Sadie was born. They're like, we've been traveling so much. I'm like, oh, that's really, like, to take your kid when they're like,
that's
cruising
brave.
And on the, and they're like, oh no, we never take the kid because they had like two full-time people.
They have a daytime nanny and a nighttime nanny and
they have money.
And it's so easy. Nice. And they're like, you know, so the kids were sitting at a kids table with the two nannies and they said, well, what's the longest you've been away from Sadie? I'm like, this lunch. Like, and they're like, they stop talking. They're like, oh yeah, we're not friends with you.
We're not the same people.
If that's the way it works best for you.
Right. To each his own.
Yeah.
To each his own.
So, but we made the decision not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was completely fine with doing that. I mean, there were some times that I got very sleep deprived.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when he was out of town. But mostly I thought that it would be something that if I hadn't done, I would regret not having done.
Right.
Did you stop working during that time? Were you also doing plays and stuff?
I stopped mostly working, yes. And then I went, when she was like 3 or 4, I went back into a show that I had already done.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not that hard to do that. And I went back into Mamma Mia and she came, he brought her one time and I was in like a suit. And she just bought her for like the last 15 minutes of the show. I was in a suit and she fell asleep and she woke up and I was in like platform boots and a spandex and she was like, ah! Like,
what happened to mom?
I can't
she
do
like,
this.
She was like, mom?
So she was a little, it was a little scarring. But she's turned out really well.
She's fine. She seems like a good kid.
Yeah, she's great.
Mm-hmm. What about... like with co-parenting, do you guys split everything 50-50?
Did you remember the part where he was the servant?
Russell's a really good supervisor. So he will say, I don't have time to clean. If you could clean over there, because I would not do that. And then I'm like, well, why don't, he goes, no, just clean right into the corner. And I'm like, okay. And it's just easier rather than to like engage him just to go and like pretend to clean in the corner.
Right.
He does all household things better than I do, he tells me. But I don't really know because he doesn't do that many.
Oh, interesting, so, interesting.
But he works really hard. So, I mean, he's away a lot. I mean, he's out of the house a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he gets very jealous of the time that I spend with Sadie.
Right.
So
he wants to be called mom sometimes, too.
No, he does.
Did you have any, like, traditional imbalance of, like, when you were home with her and he was working? I mean, in a way, that is very heteronormative. Like, did that seem like argument that happens for the straights happen for you guys?
No, I mean, you know, like, I like to argue because I just... Because
it's fun sometimes.
No, to make my point and win. Just like with that 4-year-old girl, I do it with him.
That's all that matters.
So proud of you for that.
But,
that was good.
No, but sometimes it's just, like... Sometimes it's the grass is always greener. Like you were like, just, I would like try to audition for a commercial that I'm like, oh my God, I could spend 2 days in a hotel room.
Like that's like a dream.
You know?
Like,
yeah.
It really is.
And like where you're just thinking, oh, maybe I'll have surgery.
Yeah.
Cause then
I know.
I will, like, someone will bring me food.
Yeah.
I'll do drugs legally.
Yeah, right, right.
And nod off.
Yeah, and then I'm
and
not
just
off.
Sleep when I want.
Yeah, that's
just
sleep. Like, someone will be like, how are you doing? I'm like, oh, you're asking about me? Thanks.
No.
But so sometimes I was thinking that it would be nice to like, maybe like just an appendicitis or something.
Yeah. No, really, I had pneumonia recently and I went to the emergency room to get diagnosed with pneumonia. And I was laying on that bed thinking, please admit me. Please admit me. I will get like a night in the hospital.
Right.
My wife doesn't know that. Now she knows. I was like, please, I just want a night. I just want a night. I want to sleep. So you do. You wish for that.
But of course, because you want it, like it's tiring sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
And but it's also.
But like, it's great, guys. It's really great. So rewarding.
It.
Yeah. We really do love our
satisfying.
Kids. No, but I think that like I have like a really really easy daughter, so it's not like, but so yeah. There are just times where I'm like, oh, maybe I could go and have, like, just sit at a desk and have coffee there, you know, like, instead of, like...
A desk that doesn't have yogurt stuck to it.
No, so I always felt like...
It's my house.
No, there was a big thing where I'm like, I would feed her and it would always be, like, that sort of, like, applewood turkey, right, and avocado, and she wouldn't finish it, and there'd be, like, a little bit of some sort of puree of pumpkin or something, and I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna, are you gonna eat that? Because like, I'm not gonna throw that away.
Yeah,
turkey is like $7 a slice.
Right. Yes.
And you know, so then you're like, well, I would like to have food that I fix for myself at some point.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm in the stage where all I eat is what's left on their plates. Those are my meals.
Right.
Yeah. That's the young kid's face.
It's like, yeah. Pancakes and mac and cheese.
The rest of the pancakes, the rest of the mac and cheese.
And the rest of the mac and cheese is good. It's just a little bit cold. It's all clumped together.
Yes.
That is good
but
food.
But then sometimes you realize that little chunk of mac and cheese was already in their mouth.
Yeah.
And that happens.
But you just don't think about that.
And you swallow it anyway. Yeah.
No, but when you're hungry, you're hungry.
Right, exactly. And I didn't
have
time to eat, so,
at all.
You know, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I see you.
Should we open it up if people have some questions of Jessica Kirsten here?
Mr. Any David kind of questions. Or, ooh. There's our theme
music
song.
Cue, guys. It was a music cue for questions.
Yeah, if you have any questions, parenting questions.
By the way, we had a music cue. There has to be questions. That's
Come
all
on.
I'm saying. Right. Music cue.
Hi.
Easy for LGBTQ couples to adopt in the U.S.?
That's a good question.
I think that I don't know all the legal stuff. I know some states, it's still illegal, right? Isn't it Florida hard to... almost impossible to do?
I think it's state. It's a state-by-state issue.
And
right.
So, but we definitely had, that's why I really liked the agency, because it was, they have a legal team in place trying to figure stuff out. And then they would say, when you go to that state, if you went to that state, it would be a different set of rules. And it also helped a lot once we were able to get married. Because one of the things that really drove me crazy was that we weren't recognized as a married couple. And we had a child together, and then you would watch CNN, and they would say, oh, there's nothing, someone on the wrong side, the right side, would say something like, oh, but there's nothing you can't do legally to get around those things. I'm like, yes, there is. Like, all the insurance, I couldn't be on my husband's insurance without paying money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, we've been together 23 years, and if he met a woman and one day later he married her, she would be free.
On his insurance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you didn't do a thing where one person adopted and then you had to do like second parent adoption. You adopted together as a couple.
We adopted together as a couple, and both of our names are on her birth certificate. Mm-hmm. And we, through Russell's work, were able to... be friends with Judge Kay, who was the judge on the New York Supreme Court, who made that happen. And when I talked to her, I was like, like, I really was like, she was like the biggest movie star to me, because she made something happen for that made the world of difference to our family. And when you get to meet someone who was such a rock star like that, I love like someone who has put themselves out there. for.
That's really cool.
Legal rights.
And we did have someone on the podcast a couple of weeks ago who was from a foster care agency, and we got some feedback from our social media from listeners saying, like, because this agency was very like affirming for LGBTQ people, and we took the stance of like, oh, as a gay, you can do foster. And we heard a lot of people came back at us and said there's a lot of discrimination that happens. Like, I think we're sometimes guilty of being in the bubble of New York.
It's a state by state decision. So.
Or even agency by agency.
Right.
Certainly with certain religious agencies would shut down when they were told that they had to not discriminate against gay people.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that's cozy feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many cozies.
Yeah.
For us. Yeah. Anybody else? Questions?
In your experience, did you have to have that waiting period, that 12-month waiting period that the natural parents could change their minds?
We had 30 days. And so there were no pictures being sent. No, like five of our friends knew and our families knew. But we were keeping it very, very quiet. And
when it was basically had her like in the house.
Yeah, know. Like a clock, a countdown clock. It was, it was. And then the one thing that happened with our agency, which was a little like, oh, that's odd. They're like, oh, we thought you would know that no news was good news. And I'm like, no, we have a countdown clock.
We need feedback. So, I'm an actor.
So Russell, we were so overjoyed that everything was working out all right. And that we didn't have to worry about a reversal decision, that he said, oh, we have to mark this day. So he went to Tiffany to buy her a necklace.
Oh.
And so he would always be able to say, this is the necklace I got.
Oh.
So and I was like, don't spend money. I did it. So
get her the knockoff.
Yeah, so.
Because she's going to lose it anyway.
Right around the corner, who's gay friendly.
Don't give it to her till she's 15.
So he said, I want a pearl necklace, but I don't want it to be matronly, so I don't want it to be too long on her. I want it to be blah. And the guy said, well, awkward question, but do you mind if I ask you how much your daughter weighs? And he goes, yeah, 9 pounds. And so he was like, wait, hold on. I'm going to ask this again in front of one of my coworkers. You know, like, that's the best thing I've ever heard. And
I love that he was like, you know, I don't want it to be too matronly. She's 9 pounds.
It's going to be pretty long.
Yeah. So we have that. But then he was like, gave us the most like expensive clamshell to put it in. Like that goes with the expensive ones, yeah. Not just the. So we had a very, everything happened correctly in the 30 days. So it was not.
And so at the end of the 30 days, no one could take the baby. That's it.
Yeah. Except for like, we took her out to like our first like pride thing or something. And that's when someone said, oh, I had a family who waited, I have friends who waited the 30 days. And then someone came back from the military and he took the baby and we were like this. He goes, oh, don't worry. They got another baby. And I'm like,
like, because one meat equals the other.
Spoken
right.
Like someone who doesn't have children.
Like, yeah, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
You're like, I kind of want this child.
Yes, it's like.
I'm a little attached. I haven't put her down yet.
Yes, exactly.
She's been in the Bjorn the whole time.
If you smell something that is like this child hasn't been bathed. And I haven't either. So it was, but that was the kind of thing you're like, oh, gays. They don't get it.
They don't get it.
But how did you get over? You mentioned that you had a fear of this like time period. Like, how did you get over it? Did you just like white knuckle it or?
When you realize that you have to, that's something you have to deal with.
Mm.
Unless like, I was like, how could I like, you know, how could I have like some sort of like pregnancy myself to get around that? But you're like, oh, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? And so.
It's not likely.
So it helped with all the readings, the reading we had to do to sort of get through the process that when they talk about like how to deal with that. So as long as I sort of like realized that I knew all the information, it was easier to deal with. So.
That's good. Oh, there's somebody back there.
I know that every situation is unique, but I'm just wondering if you have any sense, besides your beautiful drawings in your book, what made your family be chosen?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm loving having people ask questions for us because you guys are asking some Jamie. Good questions. Thank you. Yes, I'd like to know that too.
They were really good pictures. I think that there was something about the fact that we were a different family in this agency, and that I think psychologically, I don't want to like psychoanalyze, but I think there's something about a young woman feeling like I'm not being displaced by another woman. Even though she was so funny, she was like, you look a little gay in that picture of you doing, because I was trying to put pictures of me doing sports. And so I was like,
here's me doing badminton.
Yeah, it was like croquet. And,
yeah, right.
And here's me doing words with friends.
Yeah.
I was just trying to make it like, we're outdoorsy. You I don't guys. Know. And so she was like, that looked a little gay. Oh, no, it was the Broadway Softball League. That's what she was like.
It's a little gay.
Where it was like, and it wasn't a picture of me striking out, which I always did on that. But she was like, that looked a little gay. But I think that she was very comfortable with the fact, and so was the birth father, with the fact that we were a different family setup and that we looked like we would be people they would like to hang out with.
Mm.
So we also did this thing where they said, don't have any pictures of you drinking because you don't want pictures of you drinking in this book. So you just edit everything. And it like
drinking anything?
Well, it was
like even seltzer?
No, but like, you know, because so many times you're at a wedding, you're like, yeah, you're like all these pictures of like New Year's.
You gotta put the wine glass
there. There's all these like Venus de Milo pictures where we're all just like, our arms are just cut off. I edited all the pictures and I'm like, now I'm thinking that they think that we don't have like anything for
like
the elbow
arms.
Down. Like they'll be like, oh, they're a really cool couple, but I don't know whether they'll be able to like hold a
child. Hold the baby.
So, but there was so much editing going on. So, but it all worked.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Sadie now, look, we have one of those books. They kept one at the agency and the birth mom kept another one. And so Sadie looks through it sometimes. She's like, why aren't I in this book? I'm like, that's the point of the book. To get ya.
That's so funny.
So,
did the birth parents have any other kids as well, or this Sadie was just the only one?
They have not. They're still thinking that. I mean, separately, they still think that they might.
Yeah.
But and they were friends with someone who had made an adoption plan and then later had kids.
Uh-huh.
So that was also comforting, I think.
Right to see.
Them. That it's not like you're not stopping a family in your future. You're just making
it. Postponing it.
Yeah. It's not your only chance.
Yeah. So, but that was, And we also said this whole thing where like, let's all talk about what we should name him because we knew it was going to be a boy.
Interesting.
Let's talk about what it's going to be. And then, so they wanted like Andy. And if it was a girl, Molly. But Andy, I'm like, well, I really want to name, my dad had passed away recently. I want to name Benjamin Thomas after my dad, but we'll name him Benjamin Andrew because you guys like Andy. I'm like, and can we do Andrew and not Benjamin Andy? And they're like, no, it has to be Andy because that's the character from Toy Story.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay.
And did you have to take their opinion? Is it like one of those like?
No, it was mine. But I was like, I really wanted to honor them.
Yeah,
right.
So,
that's sweet.
But then
until they said
it was a girl,
and you didn't want to honor them anymore.
No, I was like, fine. Like, I guess we'll call him Benny Andy. I don't know what I.
Benny.
Well, so it was a girl. So then you were off the hook with that name.
Yeah. So no, but then they said no. You should honor your father. Like they were like, you know, super cool.
Yeah. It sounds super cool.
And then so it all worked out. So
anybody else have any questions? Oh, we have one.
You should sing during the breaks.
I know.
Oh, no, yeah. I have a song. Harmonize. I have a Krabby Daddy song.
Oh, you do? Oh. Can we hear the Krabby Daddy
Krabby
song?
Daddy song.
Can you do mind holding one second for Krabby Daddy? Harmony.
No, it's just, you know, it's like, no, it, the,
I mean, you said it.
Krabby
no, no, I'm, daddy. I'm a Krabby Daddy and I don't really don't care. That kind of thing, you know? You know, it's like, yeah. It's a very involved song that Sadie helped me write about. And she was like, well, what about that when you do that? Yeah, she. Yeah. It's like, it's heartfelt.
Sounds like it's long.
It's long. It's like it's involved. It's a lot of material.
Okay, we're gonna need that.
Yeah, okay.
We're gonna need
I'll
that.
Send you a videotape of it.
I'm not sure how to follow that. I was just wondering if you started thinking about having children like 20, 30 years ago, there probably weren't as many other gay families around. So where did you get your information or inspiration from for that?
That's a great question. We would go down to the center, and there was a center kids, and those the kids that we were around that like they're probably 40 now. Like I don't know why. Like we just didn't get the momentum going, but center kids was a big resource.
We went to that. We went to
center kids. That's what is center kids?
At the LGBTQ center, they had like a center kids section, and they had classes for if you wanted to be adopting, if you wanted to two women, you know, whatever, make a, they even had at one point, like a, if you wanted to make an alternative family, like, you know, two lesbians and a gay dad joining together. Like, I don't know if they still have that, but it was like good resources.
Yeah. But I just think it was so much more difficult then because you weren't going to be able to get married. You weren't even domestic partners.
Right.
Yet legally. And there was something that seemed like, you could be in a situation where someone could come in and say, well, that's not your kid because, you know, only one of you adopted, all that kind of stuff. I mean, we still take paperwork with us when we travel because I'm always afraid that we're going to be in some way, someone's going to say, I need to know that that's your daughter and you're not kidnapping her. So, or I don't know.
Right.
But those kind of things, you know, like I spiral.
Yeah.
Damn Krabby Daddy, and I really don't care.
Just a quick question about pediatric care during the course of your life, and how did you manage to find the right pediatrician and connect?
Well, one of the things we had to do for the application is to find a pediatrician before, interview them, and we chose one who was an expert on adoption. And he is great. I mean, we still are going to the same practice. And so we had that all set up. And whenever a lot of times I take Sadie, but there's like this wallpaper that's, I didn't really get was sports wallpaper because I don't get sports. But, and it said, and so when I would be holding her, when something would be like, they're trying to like check something or like she was really sick. And I'm like trying to just stay calm, focus on something. So I'm focusing on the wallpaper, and the wallpaper says, put me in coach, right? And I'm like, why would anyone ask to be in coach when they could fly private, they could fly business class.
They could just turn the plane around.
They could turn the plane around. So like no one in their right mind, and I literally was like, put me in coach. It's like, what is this wallpaper? Oh, and then I was like, and like I went back to like, it was just, and that, like, I realized that I was just so concerned about my daughter at that time that right. I was not even able to like read messaging from a different universe because it really is. But I still, it is a very, and the, but they are, it also, I never had the experience with the doctor saying, oh, where's the mom or where's your wife or something. So I didn't, so they were really, really great practice.
But this was 10 years ago when you had to choose a pediatrician.
Yeah.
This wasn't, I imagine that 22 years ago when you started thinking about this might've been a different story.
Right. And also, I don't know whether I always present as someone who might be straight. I don't know. Like, I don't know whether people like
they don't,
your wife. I don't know. Like, Really?
People don't mistake you for straight very often.
Well, like I was like, there was like, I was having something delivered and I called and I was upset because they said they would be there within like a 3-hour period and they weren't. And so I called back again and I got the same sort of person, the dispatcher on the phone. And she was like, yeah, I think I talked to your wife earlier. And I'm like, no, that was me. I was a little strident, I guess. I don't know what it was. But I was
That's
like,
hilarious.
I was like, wow, I don't really. So it wasn't like, yeah, it was my wife. Was she nice to you?
That, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought you're all of a sudden Irish when you're Butch.
Yeah, exactly. I just can't be Butch. It doesn't work.
Me either. I'm not good at it. So you had to go, you had to pick your pediatrician. It's part of the adoption process. You have to pick the pediatrician before you even start the process, basically.
Right, and I mean, that makes sense to set as many things up as possible. Like, I always tell our friends, like, get a lactation consultant before you have the baby. Like, interview a lactation consultant. They're like, did you breastfeed? Like, you know, like, they're like, no, I'm like, I just am tired of people who are like, oh my God, it's not working. And then they're too upset.
Right. And the lactation consultant I had made me cry. She was not. I mean,
you didn't interview
okay.
her, right?
You're right. You're right. We should have found her before. You're so right.
But that's the kind of thing where, like, why, David, why are you giving me that advice? You know, like, I'm like,
because you're the mom.
I have a list of lactation consultants that I would have used.
I should have come to you.
I really like.
I should have come to you, David. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, we have to say thank you to WNYC and the Green Space for having us. But I think also have to say a major thank you for you for like the show went on because of you.
Yes.
So David Beach, thank you so much.
Put me in, coach.
We put you in, coach.
I have the perfect daughter. She really is the best. Her smile, her laugh transform the world I see. She'll say with great affection the one slight imperfection, our one small family flaw, in fact, is me. I wake up, it's way too early, roll out of bed in what I wore the night before. In no time flat, I'm getting surly, I step into a puppy puddle there on the floor. I walk the dog, 'cause no one's up yet, and say, come on, it's almost 8. I'm trying hard not to get upset until I just start screaming that you're gonna be late, 'cause I'm a crabby daddy. Hey, a mean old daddy. I've tried to be thoughtful, I've tried being kind, but I'm mindful enough to know I'm slowly losing my mind. I'm a crabby daddy, and I really don't care at all. I'll pretend to be patient, I'll pretend to be nice, if you pretend to listen to me just once or twice. I'm a crabby daddy, and I really don't care at all. The crankiness that's brewing is 'cause I can hear you chewing. I'm a crabby daddy and I really don't care. Someday soon, when I'm quite feeble, she'll find a home for those way past their prime. She'll come one day and gently whisper, you know what day it is today? It's payback time. 'Cause she'll be a crabby daughter, and I'll know the guy who taught her. I taught her the lyrics, I taught her the tune. Now it's Cats and the Cradle and the Silver spoon. She'll be a grabby daughter, and she really won't care at all. I'll say, I know I was moody, an unthoughtful rube, but sweetie, could you please unkink my feeding tube? She'll be a grabby daughter, and she really won't care. So be kind to your daughters. Be kind to your sons,
yeah,
or you'll become the geezer that all progeny shuns. Don't be a grabby daddy, 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 don't be a grabby daddy. Can you please just get to bed? It's almost 10. Like me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.